Bill must be late again, she said. Don't worry, Nanny, and for goodness sake, don't say anything to him. You know what a job Charles has to get Carmen. It's a job to get anyone these days, Nanny answered tartly. Now you run along for your tea. Did anyone come this afternoon? Aria looked down at the box on the table, in which reposed 6 half-crowns. As you see, we haven't been overwhelmed by the crowds, she smiled. There were 4 Americans and a horrible couple on a motorcycle. The woman said, really? In her opinion, she didn't think the house was worth 1/2 crown, and she wondered how we had the cheek to charge it. What impudence! Nanny ejaculated. I wish I'd been here. I'd have given her a piece of my mind. Aria laughed. She had been conversant with the pieces of Nanny's mind for as long as she could remember. They always sounded very fierce in anticipation, but in actual fact, they were not likely to make anyone over the age of 3 quake in their shoes. We mustn't drive away the few customers we have, she said. Despite the woman's nasty remarks, her husband bought a couple of postcards. You will find the money in the drawer. Charles said we were to keep it separate. I haven't forgotten, Nanny said irritably. She invariably put any money there was into a muddle and disliked the slightest suggestion that she was not a meticulous accountant. 6 people in an afternoon, Aria said, stretching her hands over her head. 15 shillings. It's hopeless, isn't it, Nanny? I shall talk to Charles tonight. He was so tired when he came in yesterday evening that I didn't like to worry him. Now, think before you do anything rash, dearie, Nanny admonished her. And I'm not agreeing with your wild ideas, mind you. But you know as well as I do, Nanny, that something has to be done, Aria insisted. Nanny gave a sigh that seemed to come right from the very depth of her frail little body. Yes, dearie, I suppose something has to be done, she agreed. But what? That's the question. And I know the answer, Aria said. She bent down unexpectedly and kissed her old Nanny's withered cheek. You are not to worry, whatever happens. It will all come right in the long run. You see if it doesn't. Doubtless, it's all for the best. Don't you remember how often you used to say that to me when I was little? Indeed, I remember, Nanny answered. It used to cheer me up no end to say it, but I'm not sure in my bones that it was always right. Well, I'm sure this time, Aria smiled. She walked from the table across to the window. Outside, the sun was shining and a light breeze was rustling through the pale green early summer foliage of the trees. There was a soft murmur of bees in the rose bushes that stood in front of the house. Otherwise, everything was very quiet, the soft, quiet peace of the English countryside. Too quiet, Aria suddenly said aloud, following the trend of her thoughts. Nanny looked up in surprise from the table where she had seated herself. What is? She inquired. This place, Aria replied. Too quiet, too off the beaten track, too small to command much attention, and we can't afford to advertise. What chance do we have of attracting visitors when within a few miles of us are Hatfield House, Luton Hoo, and Woburn Abbey? And with all the attractions the Duke of Bedford is introducing to bring the crowds into Woburn, why should anyone worry about us? Why shouldn't they? Nanny inquired almost angrily. Queen's Folly is as old and as beautiful as Hatfield House. And about 1/10 of the size, Aria retorted, and then laughed. Don't listen to me, Nanny. I am just feeling envious of those who can collect so many more 1/2 crowns than we can, because they have so much more to offer. Not that Charles would admit that any place in the world could be as wonderful as Queen's Folly. There isn't a place to touch it, Nanny declared stoutly. Aria laughed again. You're prejudiced, both of you. And rightly, Nanny snapped. And rightly, Aria echoed softly. Her eyes were gentle, and she looked at the bent figure of her old Nanny sitting at the table just inside the front open door, waiting to collect money from the visitors to Queen's Folly. It seemed such a splendid chance of making money when they first decided to open the house to the public. Naturally, Charles had at the outset been against the idea of allowing strangers to intrude on his privacy and disturb the peace of the house, which he loved to the exclusion of all else. It was Aria who had...